We're holding on the Mishnah. We're holding on Chaf Beis on the Beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Hakol kosher in lichter v'saget." Everybody is kosher to write a get. Afilu cheres shoyt v'katan. So even a cheres shoyt v'katan, even though they don't have das, still they can write the get, which we'll see in the Gemara several explanations of why that should be so. The Mishnah continues, "Ha'isha kaseves es gita." The woman can also write her own get. We talked about the other day that the writing material that she's using has to belong to the husband before he gives her the get. So fine, if she writes it on something else, on something of her own. We talked about the other day, for example, where there's a tablet that belonged to her and the get is written on it, then she has to give it to him as a matana and then he'll give it back to her. But that works, even though she herself is writing. The fact that she herself is writing it is not a problem. And the same thing, by the way, the husband can write out the receipt. So when he pays off the ksuba, usually you would have the wife would write out, the ex-wife now, would write out a document, a receipt saying, "I received my ksuba," and then she'd get Edim and sign it, and he'd keep and then give it to him as a proof. So he has a proof in the future that he paid the get. But in this case, it's perfectly allowed for him to write it and then give it to her and she'll give it back to him. Because what makes the kashrus of it depends only on the signers of it. So Edi Chasima Kauti, in other words, we're saying, so we don't care. Who wrote the actual get? We care that Kosher Adim signed it. So therefore, that would be why Cheder Shoyt V'Katan could write it, and why the wife herself could write it. That would be according to the mayor. But we're going to see in the Gemara that's not so simple. The Mishnah may instead be according to the Belozer. Who's been saying in the Masechta all so far that Edim is Sirah Kauti, that according to him it's the Edim that watch it being delivered that are the ones who make it take effect. So we'll see in the Gemara about all of that. Tosfos has a very okay. Well, Tosfos' discussion over here really refers to the Gemara. So let's start the Gemara. The Gemara asks, "V'halav b'nei Deya Ninhu, how can a cheres shoyt v'katan write a get? None of them have das." And if we assume, now we're starting with the assumption that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Lazar, that the get needs to be written l'shma. Now there is the concept, we're going to discuss it more extensively in the next parak, that the get has to be written l'shma of the husband and wife. We're going to see soon that Rabbi Meir disagrees with that. Again, Rabbi Meir, who holds Eid Chasima Kauti, he holds it's the Eidim who sign it, who make it take effect. So according to him then, it doesn't matter whether the get itself was written l'shma or not, as long as the signatures were done l'shma. We talked about the other day that when the pasuk says v'chosav loch sefer krisus, that he should write for her a document of divorce, and we said that the word loch means l'shma. So what exactly needs to be written l'shma in order for that to work? According to the mayor, it doesn't even mean any part of the get itself. All it means is the signatures. According to Rabbi Lazar, it means at least the todef of the get, the central part of the get that has their names and the words Hareyat Mekudeshes and things like that. So right now we're starting with the assumption that our Mishnah would be like Rabbi Lazar, that Edim is Sira Kauti, and that the writing of the get itself has to be done l'shma. So how could it be done l'shma if they have no das? So Tosfos over here has a long discussion about the ins and outs of when we say that a katan, in general, we say, of course, a katan and a shoita and the rest of them have no das, but is there maybe here the Gemara is going to bring one answer that gadol, one of the answers is going to be gadol omid al gabav, that an adult is standing there and telling him what to do. In what cases is that acceptable versus in what cases would we say that even that's not acceptable? And there's also the question Tosfos discusses. They can't be shluchim. So how does it help? If the husband tells them? And the answer is that not necessarily. In this case, do you need shluchos? You do need the husband to tell somebody to write the get. but not so much as shlichus, but because otherwise it wouldn't be lashma. Because after all, a woman, the Gemara discusses elsewhere the point that a woman is not necessarily destined to be divorced, unlike certain other shtaris where we can say inevitably such a shtar is going to be written, and therefore it would be good enough to write it without the person saying to write it. But here, in order for it to be written to begin with, it has to be the husband has to give them instructions, otherwise it wouldn't be considered lishma. And then Tosfos goes into various other considerations. Another point Tosfos makes is that they're not bnei krisos, they're not subject to the dinim of gittin, of gittin the kiddushin, so how could they be writing a get? And the answer is they could. They are considered bnei krisos. The cotton will eventually grow up. The shoita could conceivably, the shoita and then the cheresh could conceivably be healed. And so on and so forth. And then Tosfos goes into a lot of different angles on these various issues. Anyway, so the question is again, the cheresh, shoita, b'katan are not b'nei das, so how could they be writing a get if we assume that the get has to be written l'shma? The answer is Omer Rav Huna. So Rav Huna answers, v'hushia gadol omer al gabav. It only helps only if an adult is standing over him and telling him, write for Ploni's sake. So in other words, we are talking, the Mishnah would be appointed of a lazer. The writing has to be done l'shma, and there don't need to actually be signatures on the get because Edim is Sidur Karti. So when the Mishnah says, Ein kiyuma get el b'choismav, So what it means is it's not really appointed of a lazer, it's not the signers on the get that make it valid, it's the ones who watch it being given. But generally speaking, Rashi says usually the ones who signed it are usually the one who it's given to the woman in her presence. So therefore, in other words, when the Mishnah is saying Sheina Kiyuma get el b'choismav, that part of the Mishnah, that line of the Mishnah, is meant to explain the middle of the Mishnah. When we're saying, so in other words, according to Rav Huna, we parse the Mishnah as follows. First, we're saying a kok shadam lichtav as a get by filo cheder shoyt b'katan, and we're talking about with gadol oimer al gabo. Then a separate din, the Mishnah would be saying the woman could write her own get, because ein kiyuma get ela b'choismav, meaning ultimately the get is going to be signed and it's going to be given over with edim mesira, and neither of those depends on the woman. So therefore, the fact that she wrote the get doesn't matter as long as it's signed and because she can write l'shma, she doesn't need gadol omen or gabav. So all you need is signature, all you need is edim on it. And fine, you're going to have edim sign it and they're going to watch it being given. So that's what Rav Huna says, that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about where you have gadol omer al gabav, an adult watching the cheresh shoyt b'katan and telling them to write the get l'shma. Amalei Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman asks Rav Huna, elameata, then by that logic, if gadol omer al gabav is fine, omer kechavim v'yisrael omer al gabav, what if a goy writes the get and Yisrael is watching him and telling him to write l'shma, hachinami de kosher, are you going to say also that it would be kosher by the same logic? Because once you have the Yisrael telling him to do that, then fine, he'll be doing it l'shma. If you're going to say that, if you're going to say, yeah, maybe in fact a goy would be kosher to write the get, the problem with that is, v'hatanya ovid kechavim posel, we learn in a braisa that a goy is posel to write the get. So we see that just because gadol omer al gabav doesn't help in the case of a goy, why should we assume that it helps in the case of a cheresh shoyt b'katan? So the answer is, the answer is because the goy does it on his own das. The cheresh shoyt b'katan, they lack das. Therefore, when the gadol tells them to do it, l'shma, then they listen to do it l'shma, because they don't have any das of their own to contradict it. But the goy has a das of his own, and therefore, if you tell him, even though you tell him to write l'shma, nevertheless, he may not pay attention to that. He may say, I know what I'm doing, and I don't need your instructions. So that would be a difference. And the fact is that that would be why the goy is not mentioned in the Mishnah. In fact, Maharsha says You could always say, so why did the Gemara need to do that? Couldn't we answer very simply that the Braisa that says that a goy is possible is when there's not Yisrael Omer Argabov, and maybe then we could say that when he is Omer Argabov, it would be fine. The answer is because after all, the Mishnah had mentioned only Cheresh Shart of a cotton, and didn't mention a goy at all. So therefore, and on the other hand, the Braisa is saying it's possible. So therefore, we have to assume that the difference is that with a goy, even writing even Godel Omer Gabov is not going to help us, and still we're going to say that, that it's going to be possible even if Yisrael Omer Gabov. So that's what it is. But Hoder Omer of Nachman. But then Rav Nachman afterwards said, "Lav Milsa he de Amri. What I said was incorrect. Maybe in fact a goy could write a get in a way that would be kosher. Dimit Kaposel leOd Kachavim leInyan Hava. Because since we find in the next Mishnah we're going to say that a goy is possible to bring the get. Now we're going to start talking in the next Mishnah about a shliach hevah, which is one of the three kinds of shluchim that you have when in connection with a get. Shliach hevah is the one who brings it to the woman, and then she receives it from him, and he stands in place of the husband. So he needs to be able to be a valid shliach, and the next Mishnah is going to say that a goy can't be that. So Rav Nachman says, since the next Mishnah mentions a goy as far as Hava, Mikal del Inyan Ksiva Kosher, then that would imply the fact that our Mishnah left him out would imply that actually a goy would be kosher to write the get. In fact, Rashi says, even if any Yisrael Omer Argabov, in other words, so now Rav Nachman is saying exactly the opposite as before. Just now, before he was saying, when he asked Rav Huna that a goy should always be possible, whether Yisrael Omer Argabov or not, he was assuming that the Braisa is talking generically that always a goy would be possible. Now he's saying that, and the Mishnah didn't mention it because, like Marashah says, the difference would be in the case of the Mishnah, the Cheresh Shoyt of a Katan, it does work in Yisrael Omer Argabov, whereas with a goy not. On the other hand, now Rav Nachman is saying, on the contrary, the reason why the Mishnah didn't mention a goy is because, in fact, a goy would be kosher to write the get, even if not Yisrael Omer Argabov, because he has das, and instead we can say. So we can say that our Mishnah would be saying that it is kosher. So the question is, Valtanya Ovid Kachavim Posel. So what are you going to do with the Braisa that says that a goy is posel? And the answer would be, Hahi Rabbi Lazar, Idoma Edom Asira Kauti, or Be'in Ksiva Lashma. So Rabbi Lazar, again, would say Edom Asira Kauti, that's the Edom who watched the get being given, that caused the cutting off between the husband and the wife. Therefore, according to him, the writing of the get itself has to be done Lashma. V'hovada, Ovid Kachavim, Adat Edinafshe Ka'ovid. And sure, it is true that a goy is going to be doing it on his own das. So according to Rabbi Lazar, it would have to be written Lashma. But according to the mayor, it doesn't need to be written Lashma, because according to the mayor, the only v'chos avla, the only writing that has to be done Lashma, is the signatures of the Edim. And therefore, according to him, we don't care who wrote the actual get. So even if Goy wrote it, even if it was written Shalom Lashma, doesn't matter as long as Edim sign it. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, that's a different, I don't have to, like this Rav Huna was taking the assumption that our Mishnah is appointed of a Lazar. And on that basis, Rav Nachman asked him from the Braisa. Now Rav Nachman is saying, you don't really need to say that. You could actually say that both that the Mishnah and the Braisa are the respective opinions of Rabbi Lazar and of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar. The Mishnah would be appointed a mayor. So the get itself doesn't actually need to be written Lashma. Therefore, we would say that even a goy writing it is fine. When it comes to a cheresh shoyt of a katan, so we'd be saying that they can't write it. But in other words, it wouldn't matter. You don't need gadol oymen al gabav. Gadol oymen al gabav is not going to make a difference. whether it's not going to make a difference whether the get is going to be kosher. So the Mishnah would be going according to the mayor and saying it doesn't need to be written Lashma, and the Braisa would be going according to Rabbi Elazar and requiring it to be written Lashma. So that would be a second way of explaining it. You don't need God. In short, in other words, Rav Nachman is saying that this that Rav Huna was saying, you need Godol Omen Al Gabav, is not so. Godol Omen Al Gabav doesn't make a difference one way or the other, according to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah doesn't require Lashma anyway. So then the Gemara continues. Omer Rav Nachman. So now the Gemara continues with a statement of Rav Nachman. Rashi explains that this is not necessarily a continuation of what we just said before. We just said that Rav Nachman says that our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir. So now Rav Nachman is going to be informing us another point according to Rav Meir. On the other hand, Rashi brings a second girsa that actually it is a continuation that Rav Nachman himself, having said that our Mishnah is like Rav Meir, then we'd be asking. So according to Rashi's second explanation, the Gemara would be asking that this that we said. Okay, so this that we said, the line v'hov vada u'kachov madaita nafsha ka'obid, we just learned that as a statement that is the end of the statement that unique civil lishma, and Rabbi Elazar would say goy writes adaita nafsha, and therefore that's no good. According to the second explanation in Rashi, that is actually a question that. Here, Rav Nachman is saying that according to the mayor, a goy would be kosher to write a get. And the question is, how could he be? At least with a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, you would say they have no das of their own, so they're just doing what they're told. But doesn't a goy do it lishma? And even according to the mayor, that would be a problem. And the answer would be that Rav Nachman is going to say that no, Rav Meir does not require lishma at all. Because Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Hoy Rav Meir would say, I feel a motzeh ba'ashba, even if you found the get in the garbage. So it was clearly not written Lashma. It was written as practice. It was written for somebody else who has a different husband and wife who have the same name. And then he changed his mind and decided not to divorce her. Whatever it is, Rav Meir would say, if he had kosher to aid him sign it and give it to her kosher, then it will be kosher. So in other words, Rav Nachman is telling us that Rav Meir does not require Lashma at all. And therefore, taka doesn't matter, even if the get was written shaloi lishma. So there are two different ways of explaining the flow of the Gemara over here. One is that Rav Nachman said our Mishnah is like Rav Meir, finished. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar would say that a goy can't write it whether Yisrael Oymed Al Gabav or not, because Adaita Dinafshika already does it independently. And then we'd be saying separately, Rav Nachman wants us to know that Rav Meir goes so far as not requiring Shalom Shema, that he'll say even if you find it in the garbage. That would be one way of explaining the flow of the Gemara. The other way of explaining would be...
How can you say that when the Torah itself says that it has to be Lishma?
So that's what we said before. A mayor would hold only the signatures need to be done Lishma. He would hold the Chosav law refers to the signatures. So the signatures have to be Lishma. But the writing of the actual text of the get itself, according to the mayor, does not. And that's what Rav Nachman is telling us. Therefore, that's what that even if he found it in the garbage.
So when you say he doesn't believe in Lishma, you mean only
in Lishma. Everybody believes in Lishma. He just says that the text of the get doesn't need to be written Lishma.
Right.
So,
right.
But the signatures have to be Lishma. So that would be one way of explaining the flow of the Gemara. And the other way of explaining, Rashi says, a slightly different girsa, would be that when the Gemara had said that Rabbi Elazar would say, you need civil Lishma because Adim is Siddur Kauti, the question, then it would be a question, fine, but how would it work, even appointed a mayor, given that a goy writes a daita denafshe, and wouldn't a mayor at least require some kind of Lishma? And the answer is that Rabbi Nachman would say that no, that appointed a mayor, you don't require any part of the actual text of the get to be written Lishma, only the signatures. So the Gemara continues, Esve Rava. So Rava has a question on Rav Nachman. We have a Mishnah later on at the beginning of the next Perek that says, Kol get shenichtav shalo l'shum ish apostle. Any get that was written not for the sake of this particular woman is apostle. So we see it has to be written Lishma. So the answer is, okay, Emesh and Nechdam, Shalom, the Shomesh Apostle. Fine, you have to correct the wording of the Mishnah, or not really correct, but reinterpret the Mishnah. Doesn't mean the writing of the get, it means the signature of the get. So he asks him, what about a braisa that says, when he writes, so a braisa says, when he writes even part of the get l'shma, it's considered as if he wrote the whole thing l'shma. Now a braisa being the after a Mishnah on the face of it needs to explain things better. So how can we say that kosvoy means signing? So my lav true kosvoy the todaf lishma kilo kosvoy the toifus lishma. Shouldn't we assume that the braisa means, again, we talked about the other day, you have the toifus versus the todaf, the toifus being the standardized text of the get, the boilerplate, and the todaf being the specific parts that are specific to this get, the date, the names of the husband and wife, the names of the name of the city, etc. So doesn't the braisa mean, if he writes the Todaf Lashma, Kilo Kosva, the Tofus Lashma, then it's as if he's also writing the Tofus Lashma, because after all, the Todaf is the main thing. But the Braisa would still be implying that the Todaf has to be written Lashma. And the answer is like, not necessarily. Is that what the Braisa means? It is true Kosma Lashma, Kilo Kosva Lashma. It means that if the get is signed Lashma, then it's as if the whole thing was written Lashma. We don't care about Tofus and Todaf. Again, according to the mayor, we don't care, like Nachman said before, even if we found a get in the garbage, we're still gonna say that it's fine as long as it was signed Lashma. So all of that is so all of that still works. The Bois Ema. Or another answer, you could say, you don't have to say that in the Mishnah at the beginning of the next parak and in the Braisa, that the word kosvay actually means chosmo. You could say, you could always say, hani masnisin, mani Rabbi Lazar. You could say that those Mishnayas and Braisas are all according to Rabbi Lazar, dama edim asira kauti, where again, he says it's the edim asira that are the important thing, and therefore, according to him, the v'chos of law has to be accomplished by writing the get itself, l'shma. So therefore, so you could say the Mishnah at the beginning of the next parak, even though we usually say Stam Mishnah and a Meir, but we could say that Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Lazar and says that any get that was not written the Shema is possible, because that would be exactly what Rabbi Lazar holds, that the get itself has to be written l'shma, not just the signatures, because according to him, the signatures don't really make a difference anyhow, and therefore no l'shma, then you have a problem. And the same thing as far as the Braisa, we're going to say that the Braisa distinguishes between the Tofus and the Todaf. So the same idea. We would say that as long as the Todaf was written the Shema, then we don't really care about the Tofus. Okay. So all of that. So therefore, sort of Nachman has successfully defended his opinion. But now the Gemara says, here's another way of answering. So again, let's go back to the beginning of the discussion. The question was how a cheresh shor to bekatan can write a get. So far we had two possibilities. We had Rav Nachman, we had Rav Huna saying that it has to be gadol omer al gabav, that the gadol tells him what to do. Then we had Rav Nachman saying that the Mishnah goes according to the mayor, and a cheresh shor to bekatan. So a cheder shirt of a cotton can't write a get, but a cheder shirt of a cotton could write a get, rather, the Mishnah is saying, because we don't care, because it's a few cheder shirt of a cotton, because we don't care whether they write it l'shma, because Rav Meir doesn't care all about that. Now we're going to have a third answer. Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, V'usha Shir Mokam HaTorif. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that when we say in the Mishnah that the cheder shor to bekatan is kosher to write a get, would only be if he left the area of the Todaf blank and left that for a gadol to write. So in other words, so that would be a third answer. You're asking how a cheder shor to bekatan, how could they do it if they don't have das? So the answer would be, fine, they can write the Tofus. We don't care. Everybody agrees that the Tofus doesn't have to be written in the Shema, and therefore that would be fine. They could write it even though they don't have das. And therefore, our Mishnah would be going according to Rabbi Lazar, because again, according to the mayor, there'd be no reason for all of that, because according to the mayor, you don't need the actual get to be written l'shma, just the signatures. However, the Gemara continues, Rab Zrika, Amar Rab Yechanan, Eina Torah. However, Rab Zrika tells us in the name of Rab Yechanan, this is not Torah, meaning we're not going to listen to what you're saying, that there should be that should be a valid explanation of the Mishnah. So as the Gemara says, my Eina Torah, what does Rab Yechanan mean by that expression, Eina Torah? It means Amar Rabacha, Kan Hoidiacha, She'ein Koyach Lishma. Because the Mishnah wants to inform you that there's no power of lishma that's necessary by the writing of the get at all, meaning v'Rab Meir he, because our Mishnah would be like Rab Meir Dama Edi Chasima Kauti. So in other words, because Rab Yehuda Amar Shmuel's explanation requires us to assume, and this is similar in that vein to Rav Huna's explanation, that you need Gadol Omer Al Gabav, so both of them are assuming that our Mishnah is going like Rav Elazar, so Rav Yochanan wants you to know that no, Eina Torah, that's not a valid explanation of the Mishnah. And in fact, the Mishnah is telling us that the Mishnah is according to the Meir and saying that nothing of the writing of the get needs to be done lishma anyway, only the signatures. So in other words, he would agree more with Reb Nachman's understanding that the Mishnah goes according to the Meir, and that's why it's saying that the Cheres Shoyt Bekotin could write the get, and according to him, a goy would also be kosher to write a get. So the Gemara asks, didn't we learn a couple of Mishnayos ago? We said that you had a case where a get was written on something attached to the ground, and we said that it's possible. And Rabbi Baba Chana told us in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Lazar, that Edi Chasima Kauti, and therefore again that the get itself has to be written Lashma. And Lashma, and with all the other dinim of a get, including that it can't be written b'mchubal akarka, it can't be written attached to the ground, like we talked about there. So there also we had Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel telling us that there's a difference between the tofus and the toref. And Rabbi Baba Chana said the same thing. He said that you're talking about a difference where the toref wasn't written while it was attached to the ground. You wrote that only afterwards. The Mishnah would be according to Rabbi Lazar. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that. That these Mishnayos are going according to Rabbi Lazar. The Gemara is assuming, as it often does, that the Mishnayos are all the Mishnayos on one topic and in one perek all come from one Tana. So the answer is Amiroi Ninu Valdei with Rabbi Yochanan. You actually have different Amiroi in Rabbi Baba Chana versus Rabbi Yochanan versus Rabbi Zrika, whether these Mishnayos go according to Rabbi Lazar or according to the Meir. So you have Rabbi Baba Chana holds they all go according to Rabbi Lazar. So according to him, our Mishnah would have to be talking about that the Turef was not written by the Cheres Shoyt Bekotin, because if it did, it would be possible, because he says that part needs to be written Lashma. On the other hand, Rabbi Zrika, so that would be Rabbi Zrika. Rabbi Zrika says that no, Rabbi Yochanan would say that our Mishnah goes according to the Meir, and therefore it doesn't matter Tofus or Tertif, the whole thing could be written Shaloi Lishma, and it does, and the Cheres Shoyt Bekotin have no das to be able to write Lishma, and it doesn't matter because Edi Chasima Kauti, it's the Edim that sign it that are the most important. So there is a lot of discussion on various ins and outs of the Gemara over here. One particular point actually is that there's a machlokas rishonim whether what Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the name of Shmuel, whether he agrees with Rav Huna or not. Is he giving a different answer? Is he saying, in other words, that Rav Huna had said you need Gadol Omer Al Gabav, and Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that sure, Gadol Omer Al Gabav works even for the Torah, but you don't necessarily need it. You can instead have that be, so you can have two possibilities according to him. One is that the Cheres Shoyt Bekotin writes only the Tofus and leaves the Torah for a Gadol to write. And another possible answer would be that you have Gadol Omer Al Gabav and then he writes even the Torah. Or you have actually the Rambam and the Rif, at least the straightforward understanding. There are different ways of understanding the Rif. The Ran brings two different ways. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda would actually be saying that you need both. You need the Cheres Shoyt Bekotin would write only the Tofus, and that you also need, like Rav Huna said before, Gadol Omer Al Gabav, even just to write the Tofus. And therefore, that would uh, so so uh, So therefore, you have yet another possibility that maybe the Cheresh Shor Tavakatan can't write the Torah, even Gadol Omer Al Gabav, whereas Rav Huna would at least allow that. So you have several different opinions of what Rabbi Yehuda means and how we paskin. So in practice, I mean, you have the various opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. So don't have a Cheresh Shor Tavakatan write a get. At most, there is a point now that first of all, the halacha is like Rav Elazar, Edim Asir Kauti. So therefore, some part of the get definitely has to be written Lashma. And furthermore, also again, we're saying maximum maybe a Cheresh Shor Tavakatan could write the Tofus, but even then, I mean you'd need Gadol Omer Al Gabav. So because of the possibility that maybe Rav Yehuda is saying like Rav Huna as well that you need Gadol Omer Al Gabav, and he's still allowing him to write only the Tofus. So maybe you need both. The Mishnah didn't say one way or the other. That was one of the explanations that we're saying over here. But again, so that is one. So that ends up being one possibility is, and that's how we accept. In halacha, you have the various opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. But obviously we're going to try to be machmir to be on the safe side. And say that we're not going to allow a Cheresh Shor Tavakatan to write the Torah at all, even Gadol Omer Al Gabav, and to write the Tofus, you would need Gadol Omer Al Gabav. So here, this is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings besides the Cheresh Shor Tavakatan, you're also going to have on the basis of this Gemara, we're going to say that also a Goy can't write it, and also an Eved. So a Goy was saying again, because a Goy, you have the problem again that Adaita de Nafshika of it. In the case of an Eved, the problem is that he's Enid Petoras Gitin the Kedushin. The whole concept of Gitin Kedushin doesn't apply to him or to a Goy for that matter. Cotton is Petoras Gitin the Kedushin, but he doesn't have Das. So Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that if one of these five wrote the Torah, then it would be possible. But if he only wrote the Tofus, then it would be fine as long as a God or Yisrael writes it Lashma, then it would be kosher. Yesh Oimrim, actually it brings in Shulchan Aruch that even in that case it would be possible Dirabanan, because one of the five psalim wrote the Tofus.
Even a
Cheresh Shor Tavakatan. And then it goes on to say in the next sif, it says that you could allow a Cheresh, so it's a difference actually. You could allow a Cheresh Shor Tavakatan to write the Tofus Lachatchila, if a Gadol is Omer Al Gabav. But for a Goy or an Eved, even Gadol Omer Al Gabav, you shouldn't have them write the Tofus Lachatchila. And again, the Ramah brings from the tour that maybe even Midrabanan it would be possible in that case. Mishnah said, "Hakok shaden lahovius again." Now everybody is kosher to bring the get. So again, we have to distinguish between. And later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about three different kinds of shluchim for get. What we're going to focus on over here is the shliach hivah. So he stands in place of the husband instead of the husband giving the get into his wife's hand. Instead, the shliach hivah goes and brings it to the wife and gives it to her, and he does it in place of the husband. You have also later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about two other kinds of shluchim called shliach hilocha and shliach kabbalah.
Who does halacha?
So hilocha, we're going to talk about later on in the Masechta, hilocha is basically just to bring it from one place to another. The difference is that he's actually giving it to the wife. Halacha would just be to bring it from one place to another, who then is going to give it to a shliach we'll talk about it later on. We'll clarify what the difference is between a shliach hevah and shliach halacha. But there is the difference in that regard. But right now we're focusing on a shliach hevah, which is that he's bringing the get and giving it to the wife as the husband's shliach. So the Mishnah says, "Hakok shein lahavi es haget." Everybody would be kosher to bring the get. Chutz mecheresh shor tavakatan v'suma v'oved kachavim. So except for a cheresh shor tavakatan and a blind person, for the reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara, and a goy. What happens if the child received the get from the husband, and then before he had a chance to bring it to the wife, then he became a grown up. He became bar mitzvah. Cheresh v'nispakeach. He received it as a cheresh, and by the time he brought it to her, he became normal. He's able to speak and hear. Suma v'nispakeach. He was given it as a blind person, and now he was opened up. He can see. Shoter v'nishtapa. Shoter became normal. Erikachav v'nisgayer. The goy became a ger. In all those cases, posel, because when he was given it, he was posel. Avo pekeach v'nischarash v'chozim v'nispakeach. But if you have a normal person who then became a cheresh, so he received it as a normal person, then before he had a chance to bring it to her, he became a cheresh, and before he actually received, he got to her, he became a pekeach again, or pasuach and a stam of a chozim and a spateach, the same way if he was able to see and then became blind and then able to see, shofiv and a shtap of a chozim and a shtapa, if he was normal and then went crazy and then became normal again, in all those cases, kosher, he will be kosher to bring the get. Zachlau, kosher, chelosa, the sefer b'das, kosher, as long as the beginning and end were with das, then he's kosher. And here you have that because he was given it when he was a ben das, and he's finishing the job also when he's a ben das. So the Gemara asks, "B'shleim a cheresh shoyt v'katan delab nedeinim." Now I understand why a cheresh shoyt v'katan can't be a shliach for the husband. They don't have das. In order to have shlichus, you have to have a person. You have to have a person who has das.
Remember how we learned a certain case when a child is a little older and he understands what's happening, then we say it's okay.
Sometimes, but in this case, it actually explains that. In the case of shlichus, where do we learn the concept of shlichus? So the Gemara discusses it in Kiddushin. It says that we learn it from the fact that by the Korban Pesach and Mitzrayim, it says v'yikulahem ish selaveis ovos, that each person should take for his family a sheep to bring for the Korban Pesach. And we talk, and then plus it goes on to say that if one family doesn't have enough people to eat the Korban Pesach, then they join with another family. So you see that you can delegate somebody else to bring the Korban Pesach on your behalf, but it has to be an ish. So therefore, not a cheresh shoyt. So therefore, not a cheresh shoyt to be gotten. And you can understand nami delav bar hateruhu. You can understand a goy is not someone who has any of the dinim of being matir with gittin, because they don't have the whole concept of kedushin or gittin. So you have a rule. Rashi says when you have something that a person can't do for himself, he can't do that for somebody else either. So that would be possible. Tosfos points out, you could say another point as well, which is we just said a cheresh shoyt v'katan are not able to be shluchim. Well, when you get down to it, neither is a goy. A goy, the same, a different pasuk that we learn the concept of shlichus from is where it says by truma kein terumu gam atem, and we learn from that just like you are bnei bris. So the shliach has to be a ben bris, excluding therefore a goy. So therefore, goy would be possible. So the Gemara could have said that, but instead the Gemara is bringing like a better reason. The fact is, this reason that we're saying over here, that he's not subject to Gittin v'Kiddushin, that will also cover an Eved. So even though the Mishnah didn't say an Eved v'Feirush, but we can also include an Eved on the same basis, because again, the Eved does not have the concept of getting the kedushin. Yeah,
but does have to.
He's a ben. That's the difference. He's a ben bris, but he doesn't have the concept of getting the kedushin. The whole concept of marrying with kedushin and divorcing with a get doesn't apply to him. That's why it's better. That's why the Gemara prefers to bring that explanation la baratero, which covers an eved as well. If we gave the explanation that a goy is not ben bris, then we wouldn't know about an eved. So we're going to start asking at the bottom of the omud. We're going to ask about an eved. In connection with the Shliach Kabbalah, which is another kind of Shliach, which we'll talk about soon. But in any case, here we're talking about a Shliach Hevah. Yeah.
And the fact that you get that he needs to have a get shichur.
He needs a get shichur, sure, but that's neither here nor there. That's a different kind of document. It has similarities to Gita Isha, but the fact is he doesn't have the whole concept of Gittin v'Kiddushin don't apply to him. The whole concept of Gittin to divorce, and yeah. Okay. So we understand those four. El suma amayloi, but what's wrong with a blind person? Why can't he bring? And the answer is omer of sheishes lefishe any dam mi not loy lemi noisnoi, because he doesn't know who he got it from and who he gave it to. He has to be able to identify them by sight, and he can't do that because he can't see them.
Hears a voice.
Hears a voice, but still, Tosfos points out that, in fact, you could say maybe Dafka, a blind person, it's easier to confuse him like that. So therefore, there's more concern that they might. But, the question is, Maskef L'Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, in that case, if you're going to be concerned that a blind person might not be able to see, and he can't see, and therefore he might get mixed up. Then ask yourself, how is a blind person allowed to have relations with his wife? What if it's not actually his wife? Or how is anybody allowed to have relations with their wife by night where it's dark? So that shouldn't make a difference. So like you said, he can recognize the voice. So you should say also that he can recognize the voices, and that should be good enough. We're not concerned that he's that just because he can't see, he shouldn't mix up the voice. Worth noting, by the way, both Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef, who are dealing with this question of a blind person, they themselves were both blind. Yeah.
Later in their life.
Yeah, later in their life, yeah. Anyway, Ella, Amr Rav Yosef, Hocha b'chutzlar, it's a skin. So Rav Yosef says, no, what we're talking about over here, when we're saying that that a blind person can't be a shliach, we're talking about when he's bringing a get in Chutz La'aretz or from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, where we've been saying since the beginning of the Masechta that he has to be able to say b'fanei nichtam b'fanei nechtam. He can't say b'fanei nichtam b'fanei nechtam, because what do you mean it was written in my presence and signed in my presence? He's blind. It can't have been in his presence. Now, the question was, though, back on Daf Vav, we had a statement over there in the Gemara that the shliach doesn't even have to say before, it doesn't even have to see the get being written. It would be enough that he just hears the sound of the pen writing on the parchment, or even we said maybe the sound of the parchment itself being prepared. So Tosfos just says over there that it's not the same as the case of a summa, and Tosfos doesn't elaborate. Tosfos doesn't elaborate on why not. So there are a couple of explanations. One of them being that, in fact, with a regular sighted person, sure, the sofer is afraid that he heard him writing, so it's fine. He didn't see him, but he could walk in any second and see him and see that he's not writing the get, but rather something else. A blind person, he may not be afraid to, and therefore you need him to actually see. Also, the Rosh gives a second explanation. After all, he has to say b'fanei nichtam, b'fanei nechtam, and to say that he can't say a different lashon, he can't say I heard it being written and signed, because that's not the lashon the chachamim were misakin, and he can't say the actual words b'fanei nechtam, because that would be a lie, as opposed to a sighted person, at least he has the capability that it was done in my presence. So that would be another explanation. And there's also another point where Rabbi Akiva Eger makes a point as well. As far as the signatures, you have to actually be able to see the signatures. So it's not even a matter. Fine, when we said before that the shliach can hear Kain Kumus of a Kain Megilta, he can hear the sound of the writing, but after all, he also needs to be able to validate the signatures. We said Rava's reason why he needs to say b'fanei nechtam, as that stands in place of Kiyum Shtaris. So therefore, he needs to be able to see for that reason alone. Anyway. So that would be the reason. Omele Abaya, Elamei Atapasuach and Estame. So what about, Abaya says, what about if he was able to see when he received the get, and later on he became blind, the Motzi Omar, there he is perfectly able to say, b'fanei nechtam, hochinami de kosher. Are you going to say in that case that would kosher? V'okotani Pasuach and Estame v'chozim and Espateach kosher. The Mishnah had said only if he was sighted and then became blind and then became sighted again would be kosher. Implying if he remained blind, he would remain possible. So according to you, why should that be? As long as he saw the get being written and signed, what's the problem? The answer is huadin. No, in fact, you could say that even if he didn't become sighted afterwards, he would be kosher. But since the Mishnah had to mention the case of the Shoita, where obviously time in the Chozev and Ishtapa, only if he became normal, then he would be able to bring the get. And if not, if he remained a Shoita, he'd be possible, because he doesn't understand. So therefore, the Mishnah also mentions to be parallel also the case where he became able to see afterwards, but not to imply that if he remained blind, he would be possible. And Omer Ravashi, Dekanami, Ravashi says, in fact, you can see that from the wording of the Mishnah. Dekatoni Zachwal, Kol Shetchilosev Seif of Das Kosher. The Mishnah had said anything where the beginning and end is with Das, then it's kosher. If it used the word Bekashrus, then yes, it would include the blind person. and said that he has to be able to see when he's giving over the get. But because it didn't say that, because it only said bedas, and the summa, the blind person's problem is not das, it's just that he can't see. Therefore, the halacha would be that even if he's blind when he gives it over, as long as he was sighted when he received the get, then it would be fine. And that, in fact, is the halacha. So now they asked Rav Ami a question. Now, on Mishnah, I mentioned a goy, but it hadn't said anything about an eved. Eved maushi also shliach lekabel get ishim yad baila. Can the eved be a shliach kabbalah? So a shliach kabbalah is the same way as a shliach hevah stands in the place of the husband, that he brings the get and gives it to the wife. The same way the shliach kabbalah would be the wife's shliach, that he or she receives the get on behalf of the wife, and it's considered as though the wife herself received it. So can an eved be a shliach kabbalah? So Rashi says that actually the question is not just as far as shliach kabbalah. The question would be as far as any kind of shliach. The question was asked in the Beis Medrash, particularly about a shliach kabbalah, but in fact the question would be as far as the other kinds of shliach as well. On the other hand, the Rimi Gash says, the Ran brings from the Rimi Gash, that no, he could be a shliach halacha, just not a shliach kabbalah, because a shliach halacha is just like any other shliach. The difference is a shliach kabbalah, as soon as he receives it, she's divorced, so you need somebody who's betoras gittin the kiddushin. You need somebody who the concept of gittin kiddushin apply to, and that doesn't apply to an eved. But on the other hand, an eved could be a shliach after all. So he could be a shliach halacha, which is just to bring the get from point A to point B. So according to him, the question is only on a shliach kabbalah, and according to Rashi, it would be on all different kinds of shluchim. So omalahu. So
how can an eved be like? It can be a shliach when an eved is like he's shliach, but so he has to be free to be
so that's
a shliach.
The thing. So that's the thing. According to Rashi, the question is on all kinds of shlichus for an eved. According to the Rimi Gash, the vote is an eved perfectly could well be a shliach. Both of the things that we said before apply to him. We have he's also ben bris. The only flaw with him is not betoras get the kiddushin. But fine, a shliach halacha is basically just like a mailman. He's bringing the get from point A to point B. He's not doing anything to make the get more kosher. It still has to be given by the
like
husband.
His master.
What? So he's like his master. So that's the point. That's what Rimi Gash says. So that would work. So on the other hand, Rashi is holding that now. Rashi is holding that the whole for any kind of shliach involving a get would have to be according to Rashi b'toras get the kedushin. Anyway, so amalahu. So he answers mid kaposel la'ov kachavim. Since our Mishnah says a goy and says that he's posel to bring the get, that would imply mikvah to eved kosher. So that would imply that an eved, in fact, should be kosher because he would be able to be a shliach hevah, and the same way he could be a shliach kabbalah as well. There's no reason to distinguish between them. But Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yechanan. So that was they asked Rav Ami. On the other hand, Rav Asi says in the name of Rav Yechanan, no, ain't ha eved nas a shliach lekabel get the ishim yad baila. An eved cannot be a shliach for that purpose to receive the get. And again, according to Rashi, that would apply to the other kinds of shluchim as well. And according to the Rimi Gash, not lefisha ain't a betoras getting the kiddushin, because again, the whole concept of getting the kiddushin doesn't apply to him. So therefore, how could he be a shliach for somebody else? So Tosfos says, in that case, according to Rav Asi, Taka, why didn't the Mishnah mention an Eved? And we would have understood that it means for sure a goy. And in fact, we had two different opinions of Rabbi Yechanan before, whether you could say that it mentioned a goy to say that by writing the get, a goy would be kosher, but then we said another Loshen according to Rabbi Yechanan that not. So Tosfos says the point is, even if the goy became a ger, so even if when he received the get, he already had plans to become a ger, and you would say maybe already he's considered. So therefore, maybe you would say that it would be kosher, and the chiddush is that not. An eved, there's less of a chiddush in it, because an eved never has the ability to make himself free anyway. All he can do is his master can free him. It doesn't depend on him. So therefore, there's less of a chiddush with him, and therefore you could say that's why the Mishnah didn't mention it.
A goy
has the ability anytime he wants to become a ger. He can go to Beis Din and be Megayah. Okay. So maskif le Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar asks on that. So you're telling me, Rabbi Yochanan, that taima b'milsa delese. So you're telling me the reason why an eved is possible to bring a get according to you is because he's not subject to the concept of getting the kedushin. Milsa de ise. So implying that when you have something that he is shayach to, for example, truma, then kosher, then you would say that then you would say it's kosher. So you could make an eved your shliach to take truma. But what about consider the case of a goy or a kosi? The isnu b'toras. And the isnu the b'toras truma d'nafshayu. Now the concept of truma of their own produce does apply, and we know that to Tanan because we learn in a Mishnah in Trumas ha'oved kachav ma'kusi shetomi mishalahem, that if a goy or a kusi take truma from their own produce. Now it's true that, as we're going to say in a second, that if a goy takes truma from a Jew's produce, it wouldn't work because we just said before he's not ben bris, so he can't be your shliach. But a Mishnah says if he takes truma from his own produce, trumasim truma, then their truma is valid truma, and it would be also for a zor to eat. Rashi explains, because this Mishnah holds according to the opinion, which the Gemara mentions in various places in Shas, that when a goy buys property in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't remove the chiyuv of truma and ma'aser from that property. It's still that anything that grows in that land is still chayiv in truma and ma'aser. So therefore, when the goy takes truma and ma'aser, then he's doing the right thing, and therefore it becomes kadosh. Tosfos says you don't even really need that. Even if you say that the goy's ownership of Eretz Yisrael takes away the ability for truma, takes away the necessity for truma and ma'isers, you have several possibilities. You could be talking about, for example, that it was grown by a Jew and then sold to a goy, and it grew substantially grew only one third in the possession of the Jew, and then two thirds of the remainder of the growth was in the hands of the goy. So therefore it could be chayiv and ma'aser. You could also have, for example, where the goy planted it and then sold it to a yid, and then the yid it grew one third, and then the goy brought it back. And then Tosfos brings a couple of other possibilities how you could have. So you don't even have to say that the Mishnah that we're quoting over here is saying that a goy's buying of land in Eretz Yisrael doesn't remove the chiyuv of truma ma'aseres. Maybe it does, but we're talking about various cases over here where the produce is going to be chayiv anyway.
In Rambam 2 days ago, Geffen spoke about you're not allowed to
sell. You're not allowed to sell fields to goyim in Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, the fact remains that sometimes they do own land in Eretz Yisrael for one reason or another. Yeah. Anyway, so we're saying that a goy takes truma from his own, then trumasim truma, then it's valid truma. On the other hand, we learn another Mishnah. If a goy takes truma from a Jew's produce, even if the Jew gave him permission, then that would not be valid truma. Now, my timer, now why would that be? Lav mishum dichtiv, isn't it because the pasuk says atem, and it could have said atem, and it says gam atem, it says also you should take ma'aser, implying ma atem Yisrael, just like you are Yisrael, af shluchacham Yisrael, so your shliach also has to be a Yisrael. So therefore, that would also exclude an eved, because an eved is not part of Yisrael. He's chayiv in certain mitzvahs, but he's not part of Yisrael. So what are you telling me that? So Rabbi Elazar is asking, you're telling me that an eved is possible to bring a get because he's not matoras getting the kedushin, implying that if he were, then it would be fine. But we see from this case of truma that on the face of it, he's possible because of that. Even though he is shayach to truma, if he were to have produce of his own, even if he were goy and take truma from it would be truma. And the answer is no. Amri dvei Rabbi Yanai loy. No, you have to learn the limud a little differently. Ma'atam b'nei bris, af shluchachan b'nei bris. Just like you, or who are giving truma, b'nei bris, you're part of the covenant of the Jewish people, and the same way your shliach has to be ben bris. So that would include an eved, after all, is chayiv and mitzvahs, so he's also included in the bris of Torah. He's just not included. He's not included in Yisrael, but he is a ben bris. So therefore, that is why he can take truma on your behalf. But a goy cannot. So therefore, so yes, on the,
when you say an eved, are you talking about an eved ivri or an eved?
In Shas, 99% of the time, when we talk about an eved without specifying, we mean an eved Kanani. An eved ivri is a full-fledged Jew, so he has the same dinim as every other Jew. So the vast majority of times when we talk about eved, we mean an eved Kanani, who after all is not a full Jew. So the answer is that yes, an eved would in fact be able to take truma on your behalf, but he can't. But Rav Asi is saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that he can't bring a get because he's not b'toras getting the kedushin. Okay, The Gemara gives another statement in this connection. The same kind of thing, that an eved can't be a shliach to receive a get from the from her husband, that he should be the shliach kabbalah, and get takes effect when he gets it. Because he's not b'teres given the kedushin, the whole concept of getting the kedushin doesn't apply to him. Now here, Reb Chiya Ba'Aba is adding a twist. He's saying, even though we learn in a b'raisa, we have a case where an owner of an eved says to a woman, to a pregnant shivcha knanis, he says, you will remain a shivcha, but your baby that you're carrying will be a ben chorin. So im hoisa ubra. So if in fact she is pregnant at the time, zoch saloi, that she is zoicha for him, and the baby is in fact born as a ben chorin rather than as an eved. Now, what do we mean by that? In what way is she zoicha for the end? In what way is she zoicha for her baby? That's what we have to figure out. So when Rav Shmuel by Yehuda came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained, Rav Yochanan taught Yomar. Rav Yochanan has said two different dinim. One is that an eved, so first he said an eved cannot be a shliach to a get isha, because he's not b'teres getting the kedushin, but a separate case, nirim dvarim, it seems logical, she'eved mekabel get l'chaveroi miyad rabbi. It's logical, though, to say that an eved can receive a get shichur for a different eved who belongs to a different master from his own master. From the other Eved's master. So in other words, if you have Reuven and Shimon each own an Eved, then Reuven can send his Eved with a get shichur. So Shimon can send Reuven's Eved. Shimon can delegate to Reuven's Eved to bring a get on behalf of Shimon's Eved and free him. Avaloi miyad rabbi shaloi, but not when they both belong to the same master, because after all, the get has to go out of the reshus of the master, and the eved is considered like an extension of his master. So therefore, the get shichur will still be. So in other words, Rashi says it's one thing when you give an eved a get shichur and he himself is becoming free from it. We say gitei v'yodei b'on kachod, the same way as we said before, gitei v'chatzera b'on kachod, that she takes possession of the chotzer and at the same moment takes possession of the get. So the same way by an eved, you have the same concept. He acquires his own yad in the same instant that he's receiving the get. So therefore it works. But here, what you're talking about, he's bringing the get on behalf of a different eved, then it would have to be that they belong to two different masters. So therefore, it would have to be that Shimon wants to free his eved, so he's giving a get shichur. So if he were to give the get shichur to his own eved, that would be fine. But if he wants to give it through a different eved, it has to be an eved that belongs to somebody else. So that way, it's the equivalent of Shimon giving the get shichur to Reuven, who in turn will give it to the eved. So by the same token over here, when the master tells the shivcha that your baby is going to be free, then it works the same way. She is able to be zoicha on his behalf. So the imloch shach adam loymar. So if somebody whispers to you and says, "One second, what do you mean? Zu halacha shnuya." What about this halacha that we just learned about the shivcha and her baby? Don't they both belong? And we say imhoisa ubra zoch saloi, that if she's pregnant, then she's zoicha for her baby. And the shivcha and the baby both belong to the same master. So you see, it does work even if they belong to the same master. So the answer is emor loy. If somebody asks you that question, then you can answer him. Now, this part actually is not Rabbi Yochanan saying this. Rabbi Yochanan just said the two dinim. Rabbi Shmuel by Yehuda, who came from Eretz Yisrael and is reporting these two dinim, explains how you can reconcile them. So you tell him, emor loy, shnei gdola ador pirshu es hadavar, two great Tamar Chacham of the generation explain the matter. Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Shmuel by Yitzchak, and they had different explanations. Chad omar ha mani rebihi, one said that statement that you can have, that the master can give the shivcha and get shichur, and it works on behalf of her baby. And we're saying, how could that be if they're both belonging to one master? So you could say, one answer is that that's a point of Rebbe. Kona. He says that if a person were to flee half his evet, he would be Kona. Now, later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about extensively about the dinim of Avodim, and about the dinim, particularly, we're going to focus on the freeing of Avodim, how it's accomplished with get shichur, but we're going to talk about the case over there of a chetzi evet v'chetzi ben chorin. Somebody who is half free and half slave. So one part, how does that happen? So Rebbe gives one possibility. The master could free half the slave. And even though half of him remains an Eved, he's able to be koina, the get shichur, to the extent where half of him becomes free. Now the Chachamim disagree with him, but that's so one possibility is we could say that the same way over here, the mother and her baby that she's carrying are considered one big body, and therefore he can be mashachur half. He can be mashachur only the baby, and it takes effect. V'chad Omar, and the other one says, my time of the Rebbe Baha. Why would Rebbe say, and then in the case of the Shivcha Mur Beres, how would it work? After all, they are two different bodies. The answer would be, Kasava, because he holds they are. Uber Yerech Imayhu, the baby is considered a thigh or a limb of his mother. V'nasek Misha Hiknola Echad Me'Varel. So therefore, it's the equivalent of giving her possession of one of her Evarim and saying that that's free. And Rebbe would hold that would work. So therefore, so yes, you could say that, if he gives the get shichur to the woman and says that was the result of that is your baby will be free, then it would work according to Rebbe. The Chachamim would disagree, but you could make it work according to Rebbe. So that way that reconciles these two dinim that on the one hand we're saying that an eved, if he's going to receive a get shichur for a different eved, where they're two separate bodies, then you have to have, it has to go through an eved who belongs to a different master. And here on the other hand, we're saying that it works with the mother and her baby because they're one body, and because Rebbe holds that you can do that. You can be mashachar half your eved. In any case, the point is that when it comes to a get isha, that's different because an eved has no connection with get isha at all. The whole concept of getting the kedushin doesn't apply to him. Therefore, he can't be a shliach. So again, according to Rashi, we're saying any kind of shliach, he can't be a shliach kabbalah, but not even the other ones as well. A shliach hayvar or halacha, and according to the Rimi Gash, a shliach halacha he could be, because a shliach hayvar, it's true, is standing in place of the husband, but the shliach halacha is not. The shliach halacha is just taking it from the husband and bringing it to a different destination, and therefore he's not really standing in the place of the husband at all, and therefore that would be fine because he can be a regular shliach.
Same difference.
Yeah, well, it's a big difference though. Yeah.